It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Berg, presented by Bet Rivers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Berg live here, as always, at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. Got a good one on tap for you this evening. While there are no live sports tonight, doesn't mean we don't have anything to talk about. We have plenty to go over tonight. In about 5 minutes or so, VSiN host Amal Shah will be joining the program. Got a big college football slate to get into for this weekend. We'll get his thoughts on some of the biggest Big Ten games, as well as some of the other throughout multiple conferences. Very curious his thoughts on a couple of these games, specifically now that we have the week one under our belt for the Big Ten. I want to get his thoughts on the conference as a whole, his alma mater being Ohio State, and much more. So we'll talk with Amal Shah in about 5 minutes to hit some college football. Then the rest of the show pretty much is going to be all NFL, folks, like we do in the middle of the week on each hump day. We look at the biggest line movements for the upcoming NFL slate from their opener and where they're currently posted at Bet Rivers. So we have a few spots where there have been some decent movement thus far. Not as much, I guess, crazy movements as we've seen in weeks prior, but there are some decent spots that are notable to make sure you're aware of before you play some of these wagers. So we'll be sure to hit all of that in about 20 minutes or so. Then after that, we'll take a look at some of the futures market, and specifically with a couple NFC North teams and a couple AFC East teams. I think there's some good betting opportunities throughout that betting market that is available at Bet Rivers. It's that time of the year now that we're pretty much getting near to the halfway point. You're getting a better gauge on all these teams, how the season perhaps is going to shake out. There are some unknowns, of course, with some teams that could be getting canceled. We can't predict that, but we have the potential to predict how many wins they're going to end up with and if they're going to make the postseason. So we have multiple bets to get through in the futures department for some, or like I said, a couple NFC North teams, a couple AFC East teams. So very excited to get into that. And then to end the show, like we do as well a day before, typically sometimes on the day of, but we have some good opportunity to look at the early lines for my better half. It's a segment where we go over the first half lines for the highlighted game of the night, which will be tomorrow night's game for Thursday night football between the Falcons and the Panthers. Those two already squaring off earlier this season, the Panthers getting the dub. Can they do that again? Well, we'll discuss that further on the program. And specifically, like we said, we'll focus on the first half lines. But first, like we've been doing for the past couple weeks now, and we've obviously been doing it before, let's go ahead and recap the biggest event last night and the bet we had. Unfortunately, we fell victim. In terms of the total, we went with the over 8 last night, and it ended up being the lowest scoring game in this series. But hey, sometimes that happens. It's baseball. It's unfortunate. But hopefully you were able to cash on some of the MVP futures market. Like we were saying, there was a 25% profit boost for MVP. Corey Seager was the favorite at that point. I hedged a little bit with my Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts ticket, so at least I got a little bit in that spot to hedge for the most part. But regardless, we had the over 8, did not come to fruition. 3-1 the final last night. Man, talk about some curious managerial moves on the side of Tampa Bay. Blake Snell getting pulled after going 5.1 innings pitched, allowing just 2 hits, and he was accounted for 1 earned run. 9 Ks, remember, strikeout props at 5.5, so once again, he posts 9 strikeouts. That one soars over, but Anderson comes in the game, and you know the rest. So the Dodgers are victorious, get the win for the World Series, finally get their ring after the long drought. Congratulations to the Dodgers, specifically Clayton Kershaw. The man's been waiting for it, and he finally gets his ring. So the Dodgers do get the win. However, we did not with our best bet, but now we could solely focus on the football atmosphere for both college football and the NFL. It sucks there's no more baseball, but we still have a lot more stuff to look forward to, specifically with the NFL. And with that being said, let's go ahead and kind of tee up the game for Thursday night and let you know how that line's looking as of now. At Bet Rivers, we see the Panthers as a 2.5-point favorite currently. -136 on the money line is what Carolina is laying. +120 on the buyback for Atlanta. This total is at 51. Now, we saw it open at about 51.5, so just a little bit of action going toward the under. The spread opened up with Carolina as a 2.5-point favorite there, so really no action necessarily one side or the other that's been standing out tremendously. If you do want to lay the 2.5, you're laying -115 on the odds. However, you want to take the 2.5 with Atlanta, it's -106. On the year for Atlanta, 1-6 straight up. 2-5 against the number. and 4-3 is their over-under ratio. On the other side for the Panthers, 3-4 straight up, 4-3 against the number. They have an over-under record of 3-4. Once again, the Carolina Panthers laying 2.5. Total is at 51. Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. I'm Danny Burke here with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. As always, broadcasting live just outside of Chicago in Des Plaines at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, getting you ready for a big week of college football action and NFL. But first, we're going to go collegiately, and for that, we bring on VSiN host Amal Shaw, and you can follow him on Twitter at AmalShaw1. Amal, man, thanks for coming on. I know you had a long night last night with the Circa Grand opening. Thanks for joining the show. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am doing excellent. And let's talk about that really quick. I mean, how was the grand opening? If you were fortunate enough to watch it on VSiN, like I was following along for most of the night, it looked like a tremendous setup. Obviously, the new studio looks great. How was your experience last night checking it out?
It was great. You know, they've done a fantastic job. Kudos to Derek and his brother Greg and the rest of their team in terms of what they've been able to put together. I think a lot of people will enjoy it when they have the opportunity to see it firsthand.
Absolutely. And can't wait to check that out the next time we make our way towards Sin City. But let's go ahead and get right into it with college football, Amal. We got some good Big Ten action to look forward to this weekend. Let's start with Friday night's game, kicking off at 6:30 p.m. Central Time between Maryland and Minnesota. Now, we saw the Gophers open as about an 18-point favorite. Total was at about 63.5. That's dropped down to 61. In terms of the spread, the action has gone toward the Gophers, who now lay about 20. Over minus 1,100 on the money line, plus 650 on the buyback for the Terps. Look, 20 is a high spread here, week two college football, but Maryland did not look good in their first performance, Amal.
Yeah, they really didn't. Obviously, Tua's brother, Tua Tagovailoa, takes over at quarterback. He was not particularly effective in that particular matchup. I mean, he had 25 pass attempts, but three interceptions, and threw for less than 100 yards. He's going to need to be more effective and efficient if they're going to have any opportunity in this game. Look, I thought Mike Locksley was a bad hire. He's only good punching out assistant coaches. We saw that at New Mexico. This Maryland program is going nowhere fast. I don't want to lay 20 points with the Gophers on the road, but I would be much more likely to take them than I would Maryland. Remember last year, Minnesota won this game by 42 points. I think we're going to see something similar. If this thing stays under 20, I still think you can play in Minnesota. It won't be easy. Take a look at the first half. It should be about an 11-point favorite. I expect the Gophers to come out and play well, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I think they'll be much better than they were against the Michigan Wolverines. The other thing is we saw in Minnesota, they had some giveaways, some turnovers, and that really led to an opportunity for Michigan. So they're going to have to clean that up a little bit. They're going to knock off Maryland by a large number.
All right, then let's go ahead and move on to Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time, Battle of Michigan here with Michigan State and the Michigan Wolverines, 13th-ranked Wolverines. They opened up laying 23 in this spot, total at 53. Now we see it at 53.5. The Wolverines now laying 25. Mel Tucker, not the greatest debut on that side against Rutgers. 25's high here, Amal, but the Wolverines, they look pretty solid in their debut.
Yeah, they really did. I thought they looked probably the best Michigan's looked in an opener in a while. But this will not be an easy number for them to cover. Intrastate rivalry, always a challenge. But remember last year, Michigan State won in Ann Arbor very comfortably. They won by 34 points. Did they get a return trip again in Ann Arbor this year? So should have an opportunity. I don't think Michigan State's going to put the ball on the floor five times like they did and throw two picks. But I still think that this game, it could stay inside the number. I'd be looking at Sparty in 25 here. You know, I thought Michigan played a really flawless game, their first game against Minnesota, and I thought Milton looked very good for the Wolverines. We'll see how they do in this matchup. The thing is, you look at Charbonnet, he had one long run. Other than that, the other three carries didn't do anything. Haskins had a long run of 66 yards. To me, again, the ground game wasn't as great as you would think for Michigan. There were two big carries, but outside of that, there are other eight carries for Haskins and Charbonnet. Really didn't accumulate much yardage, so they're gonna have to get better on the ground. I'd be looking at 40 plus the points here.
All right, then another game kicking off at 11 a.m. Central Time. The Boilermakers on the road against the Fighting Illini of Illinois. This one opened with Purdue as a 4-point favorite, Amal, and this total has been circling around the 59 mark. We now see Purdue as a touchdown favorite, about minus 250 on the money line, plus 210 on the buyback for Illinois. Look, no Rondale Moore in the last game, but that didn't stop that offense from moving the ball enough to overcome Iowa. Do you think they continue to cruise in this matchup against Illinois?
You know, I think there's a little bit of a big number here. I'm really surprised to see that Purdue's a 7-point road favorite. You know, the Illini obviously winning this game last year, but more importantly, I know they got boat raced by Wisconsin when you look at the final score, but it was really a pretty tight game. And I thought a little bit of clock mismanagement by Lovie Smith down the stretch at the end of the first half, went from a 21-7 to a 28-7 game. And then in the second half, give Wisconsin credit. They dominated, but this is a team that's got arguably one of the best defenses in college football. I think now facing Purdue, the Illini should have a lot more success in terms of what they're able to do. I think the Illini plus 7 is going to be the way to go here. Just way too many points on the road. There's no justification for Purdue being a 7-point road favorite. I mean, they were in an absolute dogfight last week against the Hawkeyes. You mentioned Rondale Moore not being in the lineup. It didn't impact them in that game, but I think over the course of the season, you lose a player of his caliber and his talent, it's going to have an impact. And so to me, I would be looking at taking the fighting a line out here. But
do you think that's just a case of recency bias specifically because we don't have that large of a sample size with the Big Ten based on how Illinois got stomped and Purdue got the impressive win? Is that really what it comes down to with the number movement?
No, I just think a lot of times in the beginning of the season, the odds makers are just speculating on what they think the numbers are, and there's great opportunities as a better. Look, the reality is people get too intimidated by the books in terms of what they put a number at. If you follow college football as closely as I do, there's not one bookmaker that I sit there and worries post the number that I sit there and say, oh, they know this 100 times better. There might be certain matchups they know better than you do, but if there's certain teams you follow, there's not a single person that's going to hang a number on an Ohio State game and is going to sit there and tell me they know the Buckeyes better than I do. So for me, it really comes down to how closely you follow it, how much you believe in certain teams, the schemes they run, their coaching staff, and their decision-making. The one negative I see is with Illinois. Not a big Lovie Smith fan. His game clock management is always very poor. Last year against Michigan State, they scored a late touchdown in East Lansing. They go up by 2 with 6 seconds remaining. He should have taken a knee on the extra point because there's a possibility of being returned for 2 points. Instead, he kicks the extra point. And those are little things that can get you beat in certain spots or certain situations. But the reality is, if you're confident in your numbers and how you view teams and how you power rate them, you got a great opportunity to pick off the odds makers early on.
That you do. Amal Shaw joining us here on Rush Hour at Amal Shaw. One is where you can catch him on the tweets as we're looking ahead the upcoming college football slate this weekend. We continue on 2:30 p.m. kickoff at Central Time. Number 17, Indiana on the road against the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. Man, two teams coming off big wins, specifically Indiana with Penix diving at the goal line. They're now an 11-point favorite against Rutgers here, Amal. The total at 53 in this one, it's dropped a little bit from 54.5 at the opener. But look, Rutgers, I mean, do you think that's going to transition from what they did against Michigan State, or is it just because of how lackluster the Spartans team could be this season?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. But to me, when you look at it, look, I think Greg Schiano is a guy who's had tremendous success. The best years of Rutgers football have been under Greg Schiano, so that's something to consider and keep in mind. But you know, it's kind of take a wait and see approach. You know, this is still a bad football team from last year. I also think that when you look at it, they benefited from those 7 turnovers. But I think you got to kind of proceed with a little bit of caution on Rutgers and what they're going to be, because I think Indiana will also play better offensively. You know, until the late last drive by Indiana and the overtime situation, Michael Penix and company were not playing particularly well. But now you're facing a defense that won't be quite as stout as Penn State. And also defensively, Indiana's got to get a little bit better, because I'll tell you, if you look at Penn State, they were moving the ball efficiently in that game. They just couldn't capitalize. I mean, they outgained Indiana by a large margin in that game, I think by about 260 yards or so, and really were dominant on the ground through the air. They limited Indiana to under 50 yards rushing. So it was the turnovers that allowed and the penalties that allowed Indiana to hang around in that game. If Penn State can negate that, if Indiana can improve upon some of that, then they should be able to win this game comfortably. If they don't, they could be in for a long battle in Piscataway.
All right, let's switch conferences here, go to a little bit of SEC action. Also kicking off at 2:30 p.m. Central Time, LSU on the road against the Auburn Tigers. Now, we saw this one flip. Auburn was the opening favorite, as about they were laying 2. Now we see LSU as a 3-point favorite, Amal. Minus 155 on the money line, plus 125 for Auburn on the buyback. Higher total here that's bumped up from 60.5 now to 65.5. Any thoughts on this one?
And this is a stay-away game. Both teams are high consistent. You know, look, I like Bo Nix as a quarterback. I think he's going to be a terrific player in the next couple of years, but he's a guy that just isn't consistent right now. LSU with Jay Finley was really impressed with them. We'll see if they continue it. But, you know, they benefited from a critical pick six in that particular game against South Carolina. You know, to me, if they can capitalize on their defense getting better under Pelini, then they've got a great opportunity in this matchup. But this is one I'm going to stay away from. I would not be taking Auburn for sure in this spot. If anything, I look at LSU, but not necessarily thrilled with them laying 3 points down on the Plains. It will not be easy, even though there won't be a crowd or much of a crowd at Jordan-Hare.
Now, this next one of all kind of fascinates me. And right now, for me personally, it's a stay away between Texas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State ranks sixth currently, and they opened up as a 4-point favorite. You've seen some late attention or relatively from where it opened going toward the Longhorns. Total opened up at 61.5. That's dropped to 58.5. So now we see Oklahoma State laying 3. They're minus 155 on the money line, plus 128 on the buyback for Texas. Look, Texas's defense obviously has struggled. Offensively, they've had their lapses too. Oklahoma State, if Hubbard can get the ball going, they're a tough team to stop. Now that it's at 3, would you look the way of Oklahoma State, or is this maybe another stay-away spot?
No, this is Oklahoma State all day. I don't understand why people think Texas is any good. What is the justification for the Texas Longhorns being a 3-point road dog at T. Boone Pickens Stadium? This is an Oklahoma State team that's played them tough. I mean, this is TCU went into Darryl Royal and beat them. I mean, this is a TCU team that couldn't move the ball against Oklahoma. They struggled in that matchup. Baylor was competitive in this game. Texas scores 27 points, and they can't do anything in the fourth quarter to even cement the game. I know they had a comfortable lead. There's no reason to believe in Texas. Tom Herman's team is a mediocre team at best. That's what they are, and that's what the reality of the Texas program is. Most people just don't want to look at it that way because Texas gets more hype nationally than they deserve. But Oklahoma State's done a terrific job. They were dominant, even though the final score indicated only a 3-point win against Iowa State. If you look at that matchup, they really did a nice job in terms of having balance offensively between running the ball and throwing the ball last week. Spencer Sanders was outstanding coming back. He did have a couple of picks, but overall, I thought he really did a nice job off the layoff. Chuba Hubbard was great on the ground. I think Oklahoma State is one of the better plays of the weekend, just laying 3 points.
I'm with you on that one. And then how about finally, we'll go back to Big Ten, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, Ohio State, your alma mater, taking on the Nittany Lions of Penn State. This one opened anywhere from about an 8-point favorite to 9-point favorite in favor of the Buckeyes. Total opened at 61.5. That's gone up to 64. Currently on the spread, the Buckeyes laying 12, minus 480 or so on the money line at Bet Rivers, plus 335 on the buyback for Penn State. Do you trust your alma mater in this spot laying the number of 12 currently?
Well, you know, Penn State always plays Ohio State tough. Even last year, Ohio State, a very dominant team, was dominating that football game. A couple of turnovers by Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins allowed Penn State back in that ball game. Buckeyes only win by 11. So for me, when I look at this matchup, I'm not excited about laying 12 points on the road. It's not saying that Ohio State can't dominate and win this one comfortably. Chris Olave, I think he's going to be able to play this weekend for the Buckeyes. That makes a difference in terms of their receiving core, even though they're extremely deep at that position. But the Buckeyes' ground game's got to get better. Master Teague was not impressive. Neither was Trey Sermon. I want to see what Theo Chambers does out of the backfield. Penn State defensively played particularly well against Indiana. You know, they just got really fell apart a little bit towards the last drive and, of course, the overtime situation, but that's only 25 yards. I think can't discount Penn State because of loss. Here's the thing what I don't understand. Do we have a perception difference of Penn State if Penix doesn't make the 2-point conversion? I mean, is Penn State all of a sudden better than they were because they gave up a 3-yard run to a quarterback who's tremendously mobile and athletic? I think Penn State at home, even though it's not going to be a whiteout situation, this is kind of a big number to lay. You got to look at how well this team has done, particularly in-state college against the Buckeyes. I'm not going to touch this game. I don't think it's easy to this game. I think it's a stay-away spot overall.
Yeah, I hear you. And you talked about that run game. I was a little surprised that Nebraska was able to, you know, do pretty well defensively, at least in that first half against the run game. Now, I don't know if that speaks a little bit more to Nebraska to start the game or because of the lack, just the run game for Ohio State. I'm sure they'll be able to pick it up. But, you know, Amal, speaking of Nebraska, that game, as we know, got canceled with Wisconsin for this weekend, unfortunately. What do you think the repercussions, not only for that game, but just potentially for the Big Ten are going to be? I mean, they don't have the opportunity for the bye weeks now. I mean, what's going to kind of be just the next blocks falling down after this. I mean, how do you see the season finishing out with these kind of hassles?
Yeah, this is the one concern I had to begin with, is that who's going to be impacted and who's going to have a game postponed or canceled. And we see it right now with Wisconsin. And, you know, if you look at it from a Wisconsin perspective, this is a team that could get into the college football playoff simply because they've got a great defense and they've got always an outstanding running game. But now they've got a quarterback, it seems like, in Graham Mertz. I don't want to get too excited based on one performance, but how many additional games could potentially be postponed in the Big Ten West? That has an impact in terms of not only the playoff, but also in terms of the Big Ten standings and who's going to get to play in the Big Ten championship game from the West Division. So this is huge in terms of how we see it going forward. And unfortunately, this is one of the reasons why, even though the Big Ten was coming back, I wasn't overly excited for Ohio State, because I said, it's not about the Buckeyes and them taking care of their team and their health. It's about your opponents as well. And, you know, Nebraska has done nothing wrong, and their players have worked very hard in getting ready. And I thought they played decent, even though they lost by 35. Now, all of a sudden, they're not going to have a game this weekend. So, you know, it's a selfish thing when it happens on one side and then all of a sudden on the other as well.
All right, Amal, as always, my friend, appreciate the time. Now go get some rest. I know you had a long night. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
There you go. Amal Shaw joining us. VSiN host at Amal Shaw One is where you can catch him on Twitter. Great insight on college football per usual. We'll be flipping the script, though, here on Rush Hour, talking NFL for the rest of the program. Stick around when we return here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Masters just around the corner, Bet Rivers is giving away $50 in free bets for every $50 in wagers you make on PGA events. It's simple. Bet now until the Masters starts and get up to $200 in free bets from this promotion. As always, you get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. We're live here, as always, at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5 and the show at VSiN Live. Big thanks to Amal Shaw for hopping on the program to talk some college football. But now it's time to go to the gridiron for the big boys in the NFL, and let's go with the biggest line movements like we typically do on Wednesdays. Take a look at the biggest line movements for the upcoming slate, which would be NFL Week 8. And let's get right into it with some of the games on Sunday, because the Thursday night game, we haven't seen too much movement. Opened at 2.5, and it's been steady at 2.5. So we'll start with the Titans and the Bengals. This one kicking off in Cincinnati at noon Central time. So this one opened with the Titans as about a 3.5-point favorite. Total opened up at 55. Currently at Bet Rivers, we see the Titans now a 5.5-point favorite. Total at 53.5. They're minus 235 on the money line is Tennessee. Plus 200 for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. So remember, this one opened at 3.5 for the spread. The attention has been going to Tennessee, now laying 5.5. Not too surprising at this point. I mean, Tennessee, while they're coming off the loss, the Bengals, I mean, they just let Joe Burrow get beat up every single weekend. That offensive line is not doing him any favors. Regardless, though, they're hanging in these games. They're covering the number. They've been a fun team to watch. So if this line keeps creeping up, could maybe be an opportunity to look the way of Cincinnati. And this Titans defense, as we talked about last week, when they were going up against it with their defense DVOA, they rank all the way toward the bottom. I believe it was 22nd last week. But, man, I mean, that defense just kind of has been taking steps backward. So this could be a potential high-scoring game. The total, like we said, has moved down from 55 to 53.5. But, if it keeps dropping down, if it goes that way, I wouldn't be too shy about looking to the over here at 53.5. Not going to be an official play by any means right now. But I think that would probably be the best angle I would look at as of this point. Over 53.5 between the Titans and the Bengals. Remember, Tennessee opened as a 3.5-point favorite. That's jumped up 2 points now to 5.5. Total has dropped from 55 now to 53.5. All right, let's move on. This one taking place in Cleveland. The Browns hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. And we talked about a total. I'll discuss this game a little bit further later, but I actually played this spot in terms of the total, which is currently at 52.5. Now, this one opened with the Browns as a 3.5-point favorite against the Raiders. Total opened at 55.5. So currently now we've seen attention go toward Vegas because the Browns are now just laying 2 in the hook. Total dropped from 55.5 to 52.5. I get it. Sharper money. A lot of the money has been looking to the under in this spot. No OBJ. The Browns just seem to have been banged up in a lot of spots. I know Garrett's questionable defensively. And we'll have to wait and see. But look, I mean, these defenses are really just atrocious against each other, or just overall so far this season. You look at DVOA, Cleveland ranks 24th in DVOA defense. The Raiders rank 31st in DVOA defense. Both average about 28.5 points per game. The Browns allow 32 points per game, and the Raiders allow 33 points per game. So, yes, you're losing a big receiver. It shouldn't be an issue for the Browns to plug that in against a struggling Raiders defense, in my opinion. So I like the total going over despite the line movement going the opposite way. Remember, Cleveland opened as a 3.5-point favorite. Attention has gone to the Raiders on the spread. Now Cleveland's laying 2.5. Total opened at 55.5, now at 52.5. Despite that, though, I pulled the trigger on the over 52.5 between the Raiders and the Browns. Now, this is sure to be a fascinating game between the Jets and the Chiefs in Arrowhead this upcoming weekend. A huge point spread, as we expected. KC opened as a 21-point favorite. Total opened at 48. You've actually seen the line jump down a little bit. It is still the NFL. They're still pros, so 21's a big number. Now we see KC laying 19.5, total at 49. Absolute stay away for myself. Maybe look at some props, team total points, whatever it may be. But 19.5 is a little bit too scary to lay. And who the heck wants to bet on the Jets? So once again, KC opened up at 21, now dropped down to 19.5. Finally, the Steelers and the Ravens going to be a good one. Ravens opened as a 5.5-point favorite. Total open at 49. Attention has been going to the Steelers. Ravens now laying 3.5. Total has dropped from 49 to 46.5. Ravens offense hasn't had as much rhythm as we're used to seeing. Both great defenses. Should be a fun one. Betting action going to the Steelers. And total action going to the under. Ravens, a 3.5-point favorite, total at 46.5. We continue our conversation with the NFL. We're looking at some futures when we return here on Rush Hour. It's a big week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for our Marquee Sports Network viewers and serious listeners. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. Watch Follow the Money at 6 a.m. Central Time, A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander at 9 a.m. Central Time, The Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Just head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. Welcome back into VSiN, the sports betting network. It is Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. I'm live as I always am here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. Danny Burke here. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5 and the show at VSiN Live. Continuing our conversation with the NFL, except this time we'll be looking at the futures market with a couple teams in the NFC North and AFC East. So let's go ahead and get right into it as we have some very intriguing bets to dive into. We'll start with the hometown team, the Chicago Bears. Number of games won in the regular season. And all these are posted at betrivers.com. So if you want to get on the action, be sure to check them out because there are some great betting opportunities, at least in my opinion, for some of them. So we have the Bears to make the playoffs and the Bears number of games won in the regular season. We'll start with number of games won in the regular season. Numbers posted at 9, shaded to the over -134. The under 9, +110. This season, the Bears are 5-2. However, they have a -2 point differential. Never what you want to see in that category. How do they stack up defensively? Well, as we know, the defense is a strong part of their squad. DVOA defense rank, they're 6th in the league. They allow 342 yards per game, which puts them at 10th in the league. And they allow 20 points per game, which stacks them up at 7th in the league. Now, offensively is where the tide starts to turn in a negative direction. Offensively in DVOA, the Bears rank 26th out of 32. Yards per game, they rank 29th, getting 308 yards per game. Points per game at the bottom of the barrel, 27th, 19.7 points per game. So, obviously, the big discrepancy between the defense and offense that was evident on Monday Night Football against the Rams and the Bears, considering their only source of offense, touchdown-wise, came from the defense being Eddie Jackson on that fumble recovery. So, number of games won in the regular season at 9, shaded to the over, the under for a little bit of plus money. Well, let's take a look at their schedule and how it stacks up for the rest of the year. Coming up this week, week 8, they're going up against the Saints. Well, Allen Robinson plays in concussion protocol. That's going to be an FB going into it. So you're already losing your star player offensively versus the Saints in week 8. So that's going to be a tough one. And if we're going off by the spread and how that's indicated, leaning more in the direction of that one being a loss. Look, I know all the Bears fans, especially here in the sportsbook, everybody's going to be throwing stuff at their TV. I'm sorry, but look, I'm just trying to think rationally here. So week 8 versus the Saints, the disadvantage goes toward the Bears, in my opinion. Then you got week 9 in Tennessee against the Titans, another tough spot, especially trying to stop Derrick Henry. And the Bears' defense against the run is where they struggled a little bit more so than compared to the past. So that could be another tough spot. Week 10 versus the Vikings. Look, the Vikings have struggled, but it's still a division game. And who knows if the Vikings start turning things around off of their bye week. Then the Bears get the bye week on week 11. Week 12, they're at Lambeau against the Packers. Probably going to be a loss. Let's be realistic. Week 13 versus the Lions. Division game could be close. Probably give the Bears a slight advantage, but look, this Lions team, as I keep saying, they're talented. Can they just put it together for all four quarters? Same could be said for Chicago. Week 14 versus the Texans, they could start really turning things around. We've seen them consistently be good offensively. Can they do it defensively? But you need the Bears to do good enough offensively to even take advantage of that defense. So another tough spot for the Bears. Week 15 in Minnesota against the Vikings. Week 16 in Jacksonville against the Jags. Week 17 versus the Packers to end up the season. I'm going with the under 9 here because, in my opinion, look, right now they're at 5-2, so you need 4 wins to at least get you to 9, and I don't know if there's 4 guaranteed wins even on that spot. And even if there is, I don't think they're really going to get to 5, so why not look to the under for a little bit of plus money? In my opinion, the worst-case scenario, I imagine, is that I'll push. So I like going under 9 for the Bears win here at +110. I just don't know how you can trust them for what we've seen thus far. The schedule's not the easiest. The rest of the NFC North teams are looking a little better. Not really the Vikings, but we'll see. But the Packers have been an absolute force to be reckoned with. The Lions, I still think they're talented enough to beat this Bears team the second time around. Going to be a revenge game, I guess you could say, because of how they almost had it done. But look, I think under 9 for the plus value would be the way to go with the Bears' number of regular season wins. Now, to make the playoffs, yes, is -159 for Chicago. No is +130. Remember, 14 teams make the playoffs now. They're currently sitting 5th in the NFC playoffs. Cardinals and Rams are behind them in the 6th and 7th spots. They're also 5-2. The Eagles, as we know, they're ahead of them because they're at the top of the division, but they're 2-4 in the hunt. The Saints at 4-2, the 49ers at 4-3. I'm staying away from that one, but like I said, regular season wins under 9 for some plus money. I think that's the move with the Chicago Bears team. Now, sticking in the NFC North, how about the Packers' number of games won in the regular season? They're at 11.5. The over is -106. The under 11.5 is -115. Cheeseheads this season, 5-1 with a +38 point differential. Defensively with the rankings, DVOA, they rank 22nd. Yards per game, they rank 11th and allow 350 yards per game. They allow 26.5 points per game, and that ranks them at 19th. Offensively, you flip the script with them. They rank 4th in DVOA offense. Yards per game, they rank 8th, putting up 394 yards per game. Points per game, they rank 2nd, just getting under 33 points per game. They got the Vikings coming up this week on the road against San Francisco. versus the Jags at the Colts. They get the Bears, Eagles, Lions, Panthers, Titans, and Bears again. Personally, I see at least 12 wins for this Packers team, so I'm laying the 106. That's actually going to be a best bet. I like the over 11.5 for Green Bay because I think they do get the win against the Vikings this week. In San Francisco against the 49ers, that's going to be tough, no doubt about that. Versus the Jags, should be a win. On the road against the Colts, that's a toss-up. Versus the Bears, I count that as a win. Versus the Eagles, I count that as a win. On the road against Detroit, that one's always close, so that could be considered a toss-up. Versus the Panthers, I give the edge to Green Bay. Versus the Titans, I see that as a toss-up. But against the Bears in both games, I just got to give the edge to Green Bay. So I see at least, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, probably 6 wins that I think they can for sure get as of this point. Probably 7, actually, rather, now that I think about it, count it up. So I see them getting to at least 12, like I said, because they're 5-1 as of this point. I see at least 7 for sure wins, in my opinion, for this Packers team. I think the move is to go over 11.5. Minus 106. I imagine that number is going to keep creeping up because the Packers will keep rolling. Defense is obviously the big question for this team, but offensively, if Rodgers stays healthy, it's going to be a tough train to step in front of. Also, if you're curious to make the playoffs, Packers, yes, is minus 1250. The no, naturally, is the big dog, plus 750. Nothing there unless you want to bet the no. Of course, you don't want to lay the minus 1250 necessarily, but I love the over 11.5 for the Packers, minus 106. We'll round out another edition of Rush Hour here. We'll talk more about my better half, previewing Thursday night football, some of my best bets, a bunch more to come as we finish up another edition of Rush Hour. To hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back into Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Speaking of Bet Rivers, folks, with the Masters just around the corner, Bet Rivers is giving away $50 in free bets for every $50 in wagers you make on PGA events. It's simple. Bet now until the Masters starts and get up to $200 in free bets from this promotion. As always, you get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Rounding out a Wednesday edition of Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. I'm Danny Burke with the Vegas Stats and Information Network. We were leaving off last segment going over some props, looking into the futures market with two NFC North teams being the Bears and the Packers. I said for the regular season wins for the Bears would go under 9 for the plus money. In my opinion, worst case scenario, as of now, it looks like you would push. That's just my thoughts. I know everybody in the Chicagoland area is throwing crap at the TV. I'm sorry. But I think that's a smart move, especially because it's the plus money and you're at the number of 9 with, and you're not dealing with the hook. In terms of the Packers, even worse, I'm going with the over 11.5. They're throwing more stuff at the TV, but no. Look, this Packers team offensively is great. They got a good hold against this NFC North. I believe that's going to what's going to happen toward the end of this season, especially against this Bears team. So I think the Packers get at least 12 wins, so I like over 11.5 for the Packers. Now, I did promise to go with the AFC East. I wanted to talk about one team in particular. I bet you can guess which one that is. How about the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 baby? Let's look at some of their prop for the rest of the regular season. Jets, number of games won in the regular season, over, under 1.5. The over is actually the slight favorite at Bet Rivers, minus 121. The under 1.5 wins is even money. The Jets, as we know, winless, 0-7 this season, a minus 118 point differential. How do they rank up defensively? Well, in DVOA, they rank 20th. Yards per game, they allow 385, which puts them at 23rd in the league. They allow 29 points per game, which puts them at 25th. Now, offensively, they get even worse, everybody. In DVOA offense, they rank dead last, 32nd. Yards per game, dead last. They get 264.3 a game, points per game. What's that? You guessed it. Dead last. They only get 12.1 points per game to the Jets. So over under 1.5 wins. I was surprised, honestly, that under 1.5 you can get even money, because I would certainly be looking that direction. Now, as we know, there are a lot of those books that are offering the Jets to go 0-16. Bet Rivers doing a great job posting that as well. If you think they go 0-16, plus money still available. Yes, plus 260. And no, minus 335. Now, naturally, yes, there were better odds at the beginning of the season, as we're about halfway through or getting near there. But still, I just imagine this number is going to keep going down, assuming the Jets are going to still lose. So would I put a little bit of lunch money on it? Sure, yes, plus 260. I understand the value is gone, but I certainly don't want to lay the minus 335 hoping the Jets can win a game. Naturally, though, I would be more interested in the under 1.5 for even money. I think that's a really good price. You think the Jets can get two wins in the rest of this season? Well, let's see how their schedule stacks up. Week 8, this week, they're going to be on the road against Kansas City. That's a loss. Week 9 versus the Patriots. Look, who knows what this Patriots team is going to be at this point? You would hope New England and Cam Newton could pull one out against the Jets. Though I would lean in favor of New England. You get a bye week, week 10 for the Jets, week 11 in LA against the Chargers. Chargers should be able to get a win in that one. Week 12 versus the Dolphins. Hey, division game, maybe a toss up in that spot, depending on how Tua is doing. Week 13 versus the Raiders. Raiders should be able to do good, but can their defense hold up? So, you know, I'll consider that a toss up just for good sakes here. Week 14 on the road in Seattle against the Seahawks, loss. Week 15 against the Rams should be a loss. Week 16 versus the Browns, assuming they're healthy and assuming they're still battling for a playoff position, because that's where it gets tricky. Who's going to be resting some of their players at the end of the year? You would give the advantage to the Browns, certainly, but who knows what's going to happen. Like we said, I imagine the Browns are still going to be in the hunt, so I would consider that a loss. Week 17 against the Patriots. Look, same thing with this Patriots. What kind of team are they going to be? So, look, I think the potential wins for the Jets, if anything, could be versus the Dolphins in week 12, versus the Raiders. I'm not saying I think they're going to win those games. I'm saying potential where it could be closer. Then at the Patriots, since you get them twice, one of those games could be a little bit closer. But like I said, 0-16 would certainly lean more toward the yes for the plus value, plus 260. But I actually think a good bet here would be under 1.5 wins, even money. It's not going to be a best bet like we had with the Packers over 11.5. But I think if you want to get into something with the Jets, under 1.5 wins for even money is a really good spot, and would recommend that doing now rather than later, as the odds will certainly shift if they keep losing. But okay, that's going to wrap it up for some of these props in the future, or from really at some of the props in the futures department. Let's take a look at Thursday night football and what we like to do with some of these marquee matchups, marquee in the sense that it's the only highlighted game of the evening. We're not necessarily saying the Falcons and Panthers is going to be a fantastic game. We're hoping it's going to be. But we have a lot of stuff we could look at with the betting menu. And what we like to do is implement our segment called My Better Half, where we just focus on the first half lines, spreads, money lines, totals, all that good stuff for the first half in Thursday night football. So let's get into it with My Better Half. We'll start with the first half money line, tie being a no bet. So it's just straight up who's going to win the first half. The Falcons are plus 110 in the spot. The Panthers, they are the favorite, minus 143 to have the lead going into the second half. This season, the Falcons are 4-3 on their first half money lines. Panthers 3-4 with the first half money line. Now, they did play earlier this year, as we know. Panthers got the win 23-16. Panthers won that first half money line against the Falcons pretty easily. 20-7, they got the dub. So if you think they do it yet again, minus 143, Falcons plus 110. Now, if you want to implement the tie here, the first half three-way bet, meaning that you get a little bit better odds on the Panthers and Falcons, but that's because the tie is in the bet. So if it does tie, you would lose instead of push. So in this scenario, the Falcons plus 128, the tie is plus 1050, the Panthers minus 121. Neither team has had a tie going into the second half so far this season. Now, what about in terms of the spread? Virtually, it's kind of right there at the same spot, because it's at a half. So if you want to take the half point with the Falcons, minus 108. The Panthers, you want to lay the half, minus 121. Same thing apply with the money lines, because it's so narrow. Falcons 4-3 with this spread in the first half. Panthers 3-4 with this number in the first half spread. All right, let's take a look at the total points here. This one actually shot up from this morning when I was first looking at it. Went from 23.5, I believe. Now it's at 24.5. The over is minus 113. The under is minus 114. So with total points of 24.5 in the first half, this is a mark the Falcons have gone over in 4 out of 7 of their games so far this season. Now for the Panthers, scoring at least 25 points in the first half, They've gone over this mark in 5 out of 7 games. This isn't for each specific team, but it's for combined score in the first half. So in that first meeting, both these teams put up 27 points. They didn't both put up 27 points. I mean, combined, they had 27 points overall in the first half. You look at their overall DVOA defensive rankings, Carolina 23rd, Atlanta 27th. Not the two toughest defenses going at it on Thursday. Falcons do allow the second most yards per game in the league, 426. Panthers allow the 13 most, 351 yards per game. So, yes, this Falcons defense is a lot worse. The Panthers should be able to do a good enough job and move the ball, but this number did move from 23.5 to 24.5, so not so certain I want to jump on that immediately. However, you can look at the individual team total points now because we see the Panthers at 13.5. The over is even money in that spot. The under 13.5 is the favorite, minus 139. The Panthers have scored at least 14 points in the first half in 5 out of 7 of their games so far this season. And remember, they scored 20 points in the first meeting against the Falcons in the first half. Falcons, on the other side, have only allowed opponents to get over this mark of 13.5 in just 3 out of 7 games so far this season. Atlanta, they allow 12 first half points per game. Panthers average just under 14 first half points per game, 13.9 to be exact. Once again, total points for Panthers in the first half at 13.5. The over is even money. Under 13.5 is the favorite, minus 139. Now, if you're more interested in the Falcons' total points in the first half, their number is at 11.5. We saw this move up from earlier in the day. So over 11.5 is minus 120 is the favorite. Under 11.5 is minus 115. The Falcons have eclipsed this point of 11.5 in the first half. In 5 out of 7 games so far this season, have they at least scored 12 points in the first half. The Falcons only scored, however, just 7 points in that first meeting in the first half against the Panthers. When you look at the Panthers, they have allowed opponents to score at least 12 points in the first half in 4 out of 7 games so far this season. Panthers allow 13.3 first half points per game. Falcons are averaging 14.4 first half points per game. So let me say that again. Panthers are allowing 13.3 first half points per game. Falcons are averaging 14.4. Now you see the total points for the Falcons just at 11.5. We've seen this bump up. I think it might have been as low as 9.5. If not, it was 10.5. But still, the averages would indicate going to the over 11.5, which is minus 120. But if you think not so fast, the under 11.5 is minus 115. Look, I think the best bets to go here would be the total points by the Falcons over 11.5 in the first half. But this could just be a high scoring first half in itself overall. So maybe you want to just go with the total points being 24.5. I'm a little bit hesitant on that. I don't want to jump in too much. But look, this is going to be a tricky one to handicap because the Falcons are a new look team, sort of. The Panthers were getting on a roll, then they slumped a little bit, but this could be a good opportunity for them. So maybe if you want to look at another option, finally, we have total touchdowns in the first half. The over 2.5 is the favorite, minus 148. The under 2.5, a slight dog, plus 105. Now get this. The Falcons have gone over this mark in 6 out of 7 of their games. Have there been at least 3 touchdowns scored in the first half? And then you look at the Panthers. They've gone over this mark. There's been at least 3 touchdowns scored in 5 out of 7 games for the Panthers in the first half. There were 3 touchdowns in the first meeting in that first half between the Falcons and the Panthers. That could be the good bet here if you're willing to lay minus 148. Total touchdowns in the first half, over 2.5, minus 148. But all right, that's going to wrap it up for my better half. We'll be talking with Brent Musburger, the legend, tomorrow about that game more in depth. Of course, we'll have Prop Shelf, get some of our best bets for the Falcons and the Panthers in Thursday Night Football. Just to recap some of my best bets, I had the Raiders and Browns over 52.5 and the Packers over 11.5 regular season wins, minus 106, plus the college football pick from yesterday, Mizzou in Florida, over 61. Best of luck if you tail. We'll talk more NFL tomorrow when we see you for a Thursday edition of Rush Hour.